Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, I'm so glad to greet you again today, and I was looking out there, the sun's in the sky, and just as the sun is in the sky, the Son of God is alive and well today, and in a way, he is showing himself like he hasn't in 2,000 years since he was on this earth. And so you say, well, how is that? And he is showing himself in the prophecies that are being fulfilled. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so in the Bible, it tells us what it will be right before the time of the second coming of Christ. And so these things are happening. Many things are happening or getting ready to happen that are predicted in the Bible before the second coming of Christ. And so we know that he is very near to coming. And not only that, but it upholds the Bible. God says that one of the ways we know that this Bible is his word is the prophecy. And the Bible is a book of prophecy. It's not only foretelling. Anybody can do that. I read a book when I was in school, and they said prophecy is foretelling. Well, all kinds of people are foretelling. That is meaningless. But God, when he talks, he foretells. He tells the future, and he doesn't do it in vague generalities. He does it in very specifics. And so he tells us what it will be like before he comes. The other day, I saw on television this, there's two people there, one man and a woman. And a woman was talking about earthquakes, and she said, well, there's always earthquakes. So these guys that are predicting earthquakes, they don't really have anything because we always know that they will come to pass. Well, Jesus said that there will be earthquakes in divers places before he comes back. That is, in various different places. And at the beginning of the century, very few earthquakes, but they've been picking up continually. Until last year, there are people that say that there was literally a million earthquakes. And that is a tremendous prediction of a prophecy that has come true. Other people say that it's 1,300,000 earthquakes. In other words, the world is bubbling with these earthquakes. But it's not only that. That's just one simple thing. The Bible gives so many prophecies. And we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30, it talks about the ingathering of Israel. And it talks about it in Ezekiel. And it talks about it in Deuteronomy 4. In fact, God said that he would scatter Israel when they rebelled against him to every nation on earth. That was an incredible prophecy. And he did that. And then he said they would not be lost as a nation. And so that was true because they had kept their identity, which no other nation has done like that. And then he said that he would bring them back. And so we see that they have come back to their land. And there's still millions of Jews in the United States and other places, but millions have come back to the land just as the Lord has predicted. And this is an incredible prophecy. You know, I think the Bible talks about spiritual blindness. And just as a person is physically blind, they can't see where they're going, and they can't see what is going on, yet the Bible uses that as a picture of spiritual blindness. You know, there was a time where one of the prophets, Elijah, was telling the king of Israel where the Syrians were going to try and come and kidnap him. And every time that they would, the Syrian spies would find out where the king was going, when they sent the army there, the king wasn't there. And so finally, the king of Syria is saying to his cabinet, now, how come every time we attempt to capture this king of Israel, he's never there? Do we have a spy here in our cabinet? And somebody spoke up and he says, no, there's no spy in the cabinet, but there's a prophet down. There's a prophet in Israel. And he tells every move and he says, whatever, tells the king, whatever you're saying in your bedchamber, your bedroom. And so the king says, well, let's go down and capture him. So the army goes down there, and they surround the city of Dothan. And Gehazi, who is the prophet Elijah's servant, He said, you see that army out there, what are we going to do? And the prophet said to Gehazi, he says, you need to have your eyes open. And then he prays to the Lord, and he says, Lord, open his eyes. And they see up in the sky, they see an army, the army of the Lord in the sky, protecting them. And, you know, today people are spiritually blind that do not see the prophecies of the second coming and the time of the second coming. Some people, you know, some people have given a lot of false alarms. And I think that's of the devil. He puts it into people's minds. And so some people don't even want to talk about prophecy. Well, we should talk about it because God talks about it. And whatever the Bible says, we should preach and tell it. And it is very important for our age. God has a reason for putting that in there. And so just because there's a lot of false alarms doesn't mean that the true doesn't come. And so we should study it because God gave it to us to study. And God shows his word is true by the incredible prophecies that are taking place. So we see the prophecy of the scattering Israel to every nation. We see the prophecy of God keeping them as a nation. We see the prophecy of God bringing them back. And now we see another prophecy connected with Jerusalem. And today there's constantly in the news a discussion who should control Jerusalem. And they say that the city should be divided up. Right now, the Jewish people have control of Jerusalem except for the Temple Mount. And God has given it to Israel forever. He has given that land forever. He said, if you rebel against me, I'll go and I'll kick you off the land. And he says, it'll turn into a desert. But when you come back, he says, things will grow. You know, I went over there some years ago and you saw patches of green in many places. But it was still a lot, much of it was desert. Now when I see pictures of it, much of it is covered with greenery and trees, just like in the state of Ohio here. And that is a prophecy of the Lord. But the Bible talks about Jerusalem as being the problem for the world at the time of the second coming of Christ. And so here is another incredible prophecy that God has predicted. And so the world today is arguing over Jerusalem, and it comes up in front of the United Nations. And all kinds of people want the city. For instance, the Muslims want control of Jerusalem. Now, the Muslims have control of many, many cities, hundreds of cities around the world. And yet they demand the right to control the city of Jerusalem. And the papacy also wants control of the city of Jerusalem. And that's why they sent the Crusades over so that they could get control. And by the way, Bible-believing Christians were never part of these Crusades. And Bible-believing Christians do not believe in persecuting, harassing anybody, and they haven't. And anybody that says so is just, I'm going to use some real strong language, they're just plain liars. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Salvation is a heart matter. And it's based on repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ in the heart. And you could torture and murder and kill and do everything. But if the heart is not changed, that God is not interested at all in the least bit. And so we are to go out to preach the gospel in the spirit of love and compassion and humility. So anyway, the papacy has gone over there and wants to control it, still wants to control it. And they said that if the Pope could be in charge, and then the other religions could practice there, and he would be in charge. And then, of course, the Jewish people want the city of Jerusalem because this was their capital city under David. God had given it to them. And the Temple Mount is where they literally met the God of the universe, at the temple in Jerusalem. And even the Gentiles, God told Moab, which is the country of Jordan today, he says, repent and take your lamb to Mount Zion. And that was where the temple was. And so that was where the world met God, at that temple mount, at the temple in Jerusalem. And so it is very, very significant. And so the Jews would like to build that temple again today because hoping in the back of their mind to meet the Lord. So the Bible says that at the last days before Christ comes back, that this will be the problem for the world. And Some of these scriptures I'm quoting, it's not just in one place, it's over and over and over again. But I'm going to quote from the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, and also we'll get to Joel. Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens." He's the one, you know, you look at the heavens and you see the power and majesty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the eternal God, the Bible says, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That's Lord Jesus Christ, took on himself a human body 2,011 years ago, entered into that body, lived on this earth for 33 years, died on the cross as a payment for our sin, rose from the dead the third day, was on the earth 40 days after that, spoke to 500 people at one time and met many different times his followers. "And this one that stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him says, Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about." Well, that's happened already. We see it happening. And five wars have been launched against Jerusalem and against Israel. And every time they win, "when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." And you know, in those wars, it is telling a lesson. Oh, you people say war never solves anything. Yes, it does. It decides who's going to be in charge. And those wars are saying that the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, Jesus' name means Jehovah is salvation. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, there is no other Savior besides me. And so Jesus' very name is Jehovah is salvation. And he is the source of salvation. When we come to him, we are saved. That is, we are forgiven of our sins and go to heaven when we die. And so he is saying here that in the end time, there will be a siege against Jerusalem as the world comes against it. But Jesus is already showing his power in these wars because he is called the Lord of hosts over and over again in the Old Testament. And this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is showing he has the last say. Let the whole world come against him, but he will win. "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burden stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." And then further on in Zechariah 12, verse 11, "In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem." And they're mourning because they see the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. And it says in that day, in verse 7, "The Lord also shall save the seats of Jerusalem, or the tents at the glory of the house of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." And so right now, that is the world's problem. The world is dividing over Jerusalem. Sometimes I watch the Chinese news, and they're very, they don't take a lot of positions on things, but you could see that they're against Israel in their news. And the world is going to come against that city, and Jesus is going to show who is the boss. "And I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace." Salvation is through grace. Grace means a gift, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself." It is the gift of God. If you try to work your way to heaven, you will never make it. But if you come and say, "God, I'm a sinner and I deserve hell, but Lord, I repent, I'm willing to turn from my sin, and I accept you, Lord Jesus, as the one that died for me and shed your blood for me, please save me." God's grace, as a free gift, he will take you to heaven. "And of supplication," that is, they will be praying, "and they shall look upon me." And God is speaking. This is the Old Testament, the Tanakh, "whom they have pierced." God says, "they shall look upon me." He's the writer of it. Jesus is the writer, and yet he is God. "As one, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And Israel will say, "we have gone through 2,000 years of torment in hell. we have rejected our Lord and our Savior, and that day the nation will repent and turn to him. But that is why Jerusalem is in the news. Well, we'll take a break and then we'll come back with you.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
All right. Once again, I say this is a great day the Lord has made, and Jesus is in control. And you know, if there's so many ideas out there, even in Christianity, but I have read the New Testament in my lifetime probably 100 times. And I tell you one thing, if you read the Bible systematically and read each chapter 2 or 3 times, the Bible is so clear on all of these things. You don't have to be confused. Just read it and read it systematically. Read Matthew through Revelation. That's why people get caught up in error. You know, today people are trying to build some kind of a, they call it dominion theology, and they're trying to build some kind of a political, religious kingdom on this earth. Jesus said, now is my kingdom not of this world. Other words, my servants would fight. Now is my kingdom not of this world. Otherwise, my servants would fight. Now, he is talking about the kingdom of heaven, which is his rule over the heavens and the earth, and he will rule from Jerusalem. But the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and he wasn't talking about that. But what are they doing setting up that? You know, the apostles, Acts chapter 1, and you ought to read this chapter through a number of times if you are confused about this. Once again, he says this, and there's other verses. He says, they said, are you going to set up the kingdom at this time? And he says, no, he says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which God has put into his own hands. But in other words, God's going to set up the kingdom in his time, not us. But he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And our job as Christians is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Explain to him why I came. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And you have to seek him to get him saved. And that is saved from God's wrath and judgment, saved from hell, so that they can be part of God's family and go to heaven when they die. Now, we offer here, and we've been offering it for months, but people keep calling in for it, and so we'll continue to keep offering. We believe that the modern versions are counterfeits. They come from a false Greek and Hebrew text that has been messed with. And it's very clear if you study the history of the Bible text. The King James is based on over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts. And also, you can see it in the early church fathers. And God said he would preserve his words. And, of course, the other translations, about 200, they come and go because they are counterfeits. But there's quite a difference between them. And we have a paper we've been giving out for probably years now, every week, and it has 100 places where the names of Jesus has been taken out of modern perversions. Also, we are sending out, along with this, we are sending out a brochure of books that you can get on this subject. God has raised up great scholars all over the world that are showing the Christian people where the true text is, the Authorized King James Bible, and there's many of these books out there and written by people that are very, God has used them to give us the truth. And so we have these brochures we will send to you where you can find some of these books. And so we give this out for free. You don't even pay the postage on it because we want to get the message out. And so we invite you. Now you can get the email. If you have some questions, by the way, you can email us. Or if you want to us to send this out and you want to give the address, and I suggest you call right away if you'd like it, because sometimes we have many calls. The number is 901-0933, 901-0933. Long distance, 888-677-9673. Local number, 901-0933. And if you call in, you give us your address, we will send this out for free so that you could see the 100 places where the names of Jesus are out. We'll show you a brochure with numbers of books. For instance, recently a book came out 1,200 pages long, an encyclopedia of information about the people that put out the translations, the Greek text they're using, their beliefs, their life, everything. And you can, this is in the brochure, and you can get this brochure for free, and you can look up information in the book. It's outlined so that you could look it up and find anything you want to know about this subject. There's preachers out there, a lot of you have gone to schools where the Greek departments, and I'm telling you, those Greek departments are teaching a out-and-out lie. I've been studying this thing for 40 years. I've read every book on every side of this issue over and over again, and it sure has made a believer out of me. We believe the King James Bible is preserved Word of God. By the way, if you want to go to a church like this, they are all over the world today, the people that understand the issue of final authority. And we will, you can call us and we will give you a church in your neighborhood we'll tell you about. I'm glad. You see, you say, well, how can this be? Man messes up. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God made languages, and he has preserved his words in the English language. And today, everybody, this constant correction of the Word of God is nonsense. It's chaos and nonsense. People say, well, I believe the Bible is true. Every word is true. Well, where is it, you know? The Bible says that we can look at the perfect law of liberty. The Bible says we can handle the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is nigh us, even in our heart. And in our mouth, it's near us. And so God said he'd preserve it. We have it today. And there's many, many reasons why we know the King James Bible is God's word. And so we are promoting this. And you could take this paper, by the way, and if you order the paper, you can copy, you can make duplicates of it and give it out to your friends. Well, I thank God that in this day, Jesus shows he's alive and well. You know, the Bible says that he is going to judge the nations for parting my land. And that's what's in the news all the time. Parting the land of Israel. It says this in Joel chapter 3. Once again, God knows the future. This Bible is a supernatural book. I wouldn't go to church where the preacher just talks about his opinions about religion in the world. I wouldn't waste my time. But I can go to a church where the preacher is explaining God's word. And teaching God's word, and it's a rock, it's an anchor. Man, I tell you, I feel bad sometimes. I could just open that book, and brother, I'll tell you, it just ministers to my soul, gives me peace, gives me joy, and through it, we have eternal life through Jesus our Lord. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.